views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, whatever time zone you're in this morning listening in. I thank you this morning for listening in. This is your host, Andrea James. You have tuned in to today's Entrepreneur on this week of giving thanks. But in my book, we should give thanks each and every day. That's how we should start our day. I just want to say thank you, Father God, for giving me another day. Thank you for waking me up early this morning. Live your dreams. Never give up. Mommy, Daddy, ancestors, got an internet radio show. And I am so excited to have a world-renowned percussionist, Victor Orlando, on my talk show internet this morning. It's and I have to apologize. It rained a little bit here in Los Angeles, and I was out in it hustling, trying to do my other thing, which is handmade hats, which I'm getting a little traction from. So God has really blessed me in a lot of ways, and I'm thankful this day that I'm doing a radio show. I'm meeting more people each and every day. And for me to have my guest, Victor Orlando, on the line, and I have to say, I apologize. I thought his birthday was on November 22nd. But happy birthday, Victor Orlando. His birthday was on November the 9th. But he has a celebration. He's celebrating all month, the month of November. He does have an event that's coming up this Friday, the 25th, the day after that Turkey Day. Which, again, we should be thankful each and every day God gives us, wakes us up and gives us another day. And today it's from Dallas to Hollywood. And he's just, when he's on stage, it's just the stage is on fire. He's played with the who's who in the music industry. He's a percussionist. And he's just, it's such energy when you see him in a live performance. He shows out because he shows up, and he's the talent that he has, and he has some other projects that he's working on, and he's just I can't find the right words to say about the world renowned jazz R&B percussionist Victor Orlando. Are you there, Victor?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Did you get that cup of tea yet?
No, never made it in there. He called me and I just kept moving. So hopefully you get the best voice I have this morning.
Well, you sound really sexy to me right now, and I'm maybe a little prejudiced, but thank you again for being a part of my show. And let's get started from Dallas. Let's take that in.
Yep, that's where I was hatched.
And when was that? I don't know if you want to give the year, but it was November 9th, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, November 9th, 1952. Very happy and proud of it. I'm, you know, you heard it straight out of Compton. I'm straight out of Oak Cliff. And that's where I'm from. All my roots are there, my family and schoolmates and churchmates and the whole nine. Everybody's still there, basically. I'm out here in Los Angeles doing what I need to do.
Now, is that you have a lot of friends that are still there in... You said something about church. Is that where you got your start and learned your talent was in church?
No, no, actually, yeah, I grew up in church, but I never, we don't play instrumental music in our church. I go to the Church of Christ, and we, New Testament church, that we basically sing a cappella. And that's where I got some singing from, but not playing. I just got my playing from high school and from listening to music and then turning it into what I've turned it into today.
Which is awesome. I've seen you perform live before, and I tell you, the sweat is just dripping off your brow. The outfits that you have on from head to toe are just, you're such a performer that anybody that sees you is, they come away just in shock because you're, the energy that you portray and that you give out on stage is just totally, totally awesome. What brought you from Dallas to Hollywood?
Well, it was kind of an accident, but it worked. It worked and worked out. Now I understand the saying, good or bad, it's all in God's favor, either one, either way. It's his plan, and we don't know that, so we take the good and we be happy, and then we take the bad and we be sad. But the bad also is his direction. We just have to figure it out later that, oh, okay, this is what I was supposed to do in the first place, and it's not bad. But I originally was in Dallas and was married and had a baby, and everybody thought I was supposed to stop playing music and just become a daddy and a husband and stay at home and get a regular job with a white shirt and a tie. And that didn't happen, and then everybody kind of went in their different directions. The mother, the baby, my mother, her mother, just everybody went in different directions against what I was doing, which was playing music or trying to play music. And it was a kind of an accident. A friend of mine was also playing music, and we were trying to do some stuff. And he calls up one day and said, Ike and Tina Turner say they'll put us in their band if we come to L.A. And I said, wow, this sounds like the break I need. Nobody wants me here right now. Let me go and do what I need to do. Maybe I can make some changes later. But that was the decision I made. But that wasn't the way the picture was going down. It turned out we had to go down to San Antonio, hang out with his wife on the Army base, and then try to get to L.A. later. Little did I know, the little money supply I had, this guy was depleting it, kind of using my money to do that. And he ended up getting himself put in jail down in San Antonio. So now I'm stuck in San Antonio on an Army base with this man's wife, and he's in jail, and I have nowhere to go. So for some strange reason, I said, well, I've already put my foot in my mouth and my foot out the door. Might as well go ahead and complete the mission. I called Greyhound Bus Station, got a ticket, took my two Congos and my luggage, took a cab to the bus station, and onward to California I came, and I've been here ever since.
Wow. How many people can say that they would know what to do in a situation like that? Wow. That's well, thank you for oops and just making instant decisions, and the fact that you did come to California and you haven't turned back. And I thank you for not turning back, and that whenever you do go back to your home, of Dallas that you are always well received, because you have definitely turned into one of the most profound professional percussionists in the business. And how long has that been that you've been in the business now?
It's going on a little over 45 years per se, if you want to include the high school years. But professionally, money-wise, it's been that long, about since 77, I started kind of making money. And then, you know, I guess soon as you start making money, you go from amateur to professional, because you're getting paid to do what you do now.
And I'm sure that you're well worth every piece of gold that they pay for you. And let me just ask one question. Did you get to play with Ike and Tina Turner, or that was just a ruse to get you?
So the funny thing, I mean, it's funny now. Then it was crazy, it was dangerous, it was adventurous. So I get to L.A., nowhere to go, nowhere to stay, nobody that I knew. My friend, another friend of mine that had a boutique shop in Dallas, said I could stay with his sister. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll stay with your sister till I can see what's going on, get my feet on the ground. But little did he tell me that his sister was 16 years old, staying with his mother. So I get to L.A. and I call her up, and then I get the mother on the phone, and she doesn't really know what's going on, but these were cool and kind people. She took me in, cleaned out her sewing room, and let me stay there. So at least I had a place to stay until I found my distant cousins and hooked up with them, and then they allowed me to stay with them. But when I got here and started sorting out the pieces, only to find out my little con friend, I mean, he was a fast talker, but we were friends, but I knew he was a fast talker, but they said the words when I finally got to the studio and was trying to investigate the story. They said, oh, no. We told Danny, if y'all guys are ever up in California, come by the studio and, you know, and just hang out. Danny took that, re-threaded the story, turned it around, and next thing you know, let him tell it, they're going to put us in their band when we get here. But that was kind of Danny's little way of trying to use the money I had to travel up to L.A. Because he was driving. I didn't have a car, but I had the money. And he didn't have the money, but he had a car. So it was like I kind of had to go with him. My thoughts weren't even to come to L.A. until he planted that thought. But like I said, now at that time, bad thought, bad idea, shouldn't have done it. But now, good thought, good idea. It was God's plan, not mine.
There you go. Excellent. Wow. That's see how God works it out? And sometimes we don't even know. But he knows everything. He knows how many hairs we have on our head. He even knew that you and I were going to have this talk this morning. And it's just and other people listening in, just let me say, for those who are listening, please write down this number, 866-510-9025, which is the number to call in every week. Put Today's Entrepreneur on your calendar every Monday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, Today's Entrepreneur, and to get on my email list for Today's Entrepreneur, you can dial 323-672-4949. Please text the word today. I'm still learning even how to do my own marketing. Text the word today to 323-672-4949, and you'll get on Today's Entrepreneur's email list. Victor Orlando, can you tell me, outside of that, what was the first break that you got here and said, okay, I've arrived here in Hollywood,
Well, no, that was, you know, everything was totally like going to a foreign, another planet. I knew what I could do. I knew what I could do musically. I knew what I could do with my mouth. I could run my mouth and get into anything. So I'm just trying to navigate and figure out how to make it work. So basically, the first few, I guess the first week or two that I got up here, I had to find, excuse me, I'm moving around. I had to find somewhere to play because I'm here and I'm not just going to sit around. I'm going to find something and somewhere to go play. And I didn't know anybody and didn't know anybody could tell me where to go and didn't have anybody to call or anything. I had absolute, I'm on another planet, totally away from planet Earth. I'm just up there with all the Martians and all the aliens. And I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I actually walked to a club, which was kind of down the street from my cousin's houses, walked to this club, and they were playing music. I said, okay, I found live music, and they're black people. So that was the first thing, and I was so happy to see them and see that. I went in, listened to them. I'm like, they're in the same vein I was in Dallas, playing the same old school funk. It wasn't called old school funk then. It was just called music. And I asked the guy, could I sit in and play percussion? And he said yes. But I didn't have any percussion with me. It was back at the house. And don't forget, I walked down there. Do you know, I guess, the blessing and the first break I had in Los Angeles, a person that didn't know me from Adam, Eve, John, or Jacob gave me his car to go back to the house and pick up my stuff and bring it back to the club.
No way. Where did they do that at, Victor?
This was Imperial and... No, this was Century and Crenshaw and Century. It was some club on that corner. It's gone now, but it was some club on that corner. It's Century and Century and Crenshaw. And, you know, the guy said, here, take my car. You just live a couple of blocks up the street. Go get it and bring your stuff back. And I was like, you know, in Texas we would have did that. That's called Southern hospitality. Dude just did that. And I went and got my stuff, changed clothes, because I was taught you never go on stage looking like you just got out from under a car fixing the oil pan or something. You go on stage like you an entertainer. And I came back, and from that, I think I still have some, no, I don't, I think I may have some pictures from it in my thing, but I came back looking like Bootsy Collins, Sly Stone, and anybody else you want to name. Set my percussion up, and basically the rest is history. Since when I played that night, I've been playing on stages ever since then.
What a blessing. Wow.
Yep.
That's, what a phenomenal introduction to Hollywood and Southern California and California as a whole. That's just, I don't know how many other people would have been able to do that, but the fact that you had the hindsight, number one, to pay attention to your instinct in coming to California, landing in Southern California, being able to work the talent that you have, number one, which is your talking ability, and then once you got on stage, it was signed, sealed, and delivered. And plus, there were God put people in your path that said, oh, I believe in this person. It was just something about you. And they trusted you, and you did what you had to do. And it sounds like you were a hustler, and you kept it moving, a hustler that plays percussions. But you're no longer a hustler. You are a professional percussionist here in Southern California. Can you just share with us some of the who's who that you have played with over these last umpteen years?
Yeah, that one time of playing at that one club, that very first time, was the start. And it was a little local band, and they were playing. And for some reason, God really basically had my hand, and he said, I have this path laid out for you and these people you're going to play with, and I'm going to make sure you play with some of the best. You know, I'm paraphrasing God, because that's what the end conclusion of what I've done has been. And he's put these people in my path, and as you said, yes, they have recognized something that I do. They liked it, they wanted it, they called me, they got it. And shortly after I started playing at that club, I went to another club and sat in and played, and I ended up, I mean, this is shortly after I got here, I ended up in Canada for a year. So, you know, I kind of quickly lit up and lit this place up real quick when I got here, and then I went on my first tour to Canada. But when I came back, that's when the groundwork of the A-list artists started popping in. Now I'm knowing friends, now I've got friends, now I'm knowing people. And I think one of the first persons I played with of big name was Buddy Miles from Jimi Hendrix's band, the drummer Buddy Miles. And I started playing with him. Then I went on and started doing some stuff with Billy Preston. Just a plethora of different people through that time period of the late 70s, early 80s. Then I got with the group Ozone, that was out of Motown, and started doing stuff with them, which led me to do stuff with Tina Marie. And, you know, we were playing behind her, and actually I never recorded with Ozone or Tina, but I just did a lot of the shows in town and the live stuff. And from that, that led to playing with the Auberon Peoples, which were also my Dallas homies. They were from Dallas. So when they came to L.A., they came up here on another situation that I didn't even know they were here, and they knew I was here, and they found me and said, we're getting ready to go on tour. I said, fine. I went on tour with them, and that's where Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band, they wanted me to play with them. So I ended up playing with Charlie Wilson. So, and then everybody else came after that. Charlie, Bobby Womack, Chaka Khan, LL Cool J, just a plethora of named people, Loose Ends, from that point on, Angie Stone. So those people came a running, came a calling, and I went to playing.
Have you ever thought about performing your own group, or do you just you like performing with others that are already established?
No, it's a hand in hand thing. So you get established playing with other people, and then you know, unless you are Prince or Michael or Luther or Stevie with a great voice, or Sheila E. or Pete Escovedo or whatever, you have to do the hand in glove thing. One thing is going to lead to the other. The nowadays music, nobody has come from anywhere. They just pop up. Back in the day, everybody either played with somebody and then graduated to self-stardom status, to their own status. But to just pop up and just jump out there, you haven't paid any dues, you don't know anybody, you just got money and you got connections, which is not bad, but it doesn't last. What makes, hey people out there, check it out, if you ever see all of these people that's out from back in the day, go back and research. They were with somebody before they became who they were. And that's kind of the pathway that makes it better. You be with people, you learn the business, you learn the music, and then if it's in the cards for you, you pop out there and jump out there and do stuff on your own. Right now, yes, I have my own band. I have my own music. I have my own Grammy-nominated CD. I have my own little footprints in the sand. They're not as big as Charlie's footprints. They're not as big as Shaka or Bobby Womack's footprints. But those footprints carried me to a place where I could start and set me down where I can start my own little footprints. And, you know, I'm kind of making somewhat ahead. I've made somewhat of a headway. I mean, you don't just come from Dallas and pop up and get a Grammy-nominated CD unless you, you know, got something going.
Well, that congratulations on the Grammy-nominated. What we have to do is make sure that you win, and not just the a Grammy, but I'd like to see you get a an NAAC award for Outstanding Musician of the Year, if not an honorary Lifetime Achievement Award for the contribution that you have made to the music industry. And when you speak it, that's the first thing that you have to do. So I'm speaking that awards accolades into Victor Orlando's life, that he get recognized for all the hard work and sweat and tears that he has given us from day one up until now. I'll be right there in the audience saying, I knew it, because I have that much faith in you. And I want to say, let me just go back a second. I learned about Victor Orlando on Facebook through a friend of mine named Stephanie. And you were playing, I'm not sure where it was, and I heard your name, Victor Orlando. And I said, oh my gosh, you're Victor Orlando. We're friends on Facebook. And you and I hugged, and we've been connected ever since. So Facebook there again can put you in touch with people that you don't even know, but then when you get a chance to meet them, you're already feel as if you're kindred spirits. Have you had anybody reach out to you for your musical talent, and that's how you possibly got some gigs, was through Facebook?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's good and bad and good and evil and good and not so good in everything. So Facebook is its own entity of good and bad. For those that stay bad, that's for them. It has not done anything to me. It has not ever shut me out or put me on timeout. It's not done anything crazy. It's just been Facebook. For me, for the good, I have found jobs, people, friends, family, classmates, churchmates, old people, young people. I found them through search engines on Facebook or through just popping up on mutual friends. I'm on the line, I'm on Facebook, and I'll see somebody else's friend, and I'll go to their page and I'll see a name. I'm like, wait, I know that name. And it ends up being somebody I, you know, not had been looking for, but it's nice to find out I found them. And that is the good for me. It does great on networking and keeping everybody abreast of what you're doing. I've gotten gigs on there, I've gotten shows, I've gotten contacts, I've gotten network, inbox, outbox, on the box, wherever. Just say, hey, I need you, give me a call, and it's done.
Do you have any other projects outside of being a percussionist that you are working on that we may be seeing in the future?
Well, I have a company called Orlando Productions. That's what I call it. And I do a lot of different things as much as possible, because this business is like an octopus's arms. Are in their long arms, and they're more than just one arm. So I have the CD that I push. I have the performing that I push. I have my band that I push. I just yesterday opened up my first store. I opened up Victor's Boutique on Spotify. Now I'll be selling band merchandise products on my own, on my very own store now. I am also an actor and a writer and a producer. So I've got a movie in the works. We have done 60% of it. Now we're looking for an executive producer for our movie. Our budget is $350,000 to $500,000, low budget independent film, and we've gotten everything else together. So feelers are out for a executive producer. That's the person that has the money, that once they read everything, they'll be able to put up the money for the movie. We can start shooting it and take God's plan from there. So I'm into movies. I'm into I've done a lot of television. A lot of the black sitcoms in this day, in the 70s and 80s, basically pretty much the 80s, I guess, I was in. Fresh Prince, Martin, Different World, Steve Harvey Show, Girlfriends, any show, and not just black ones. I was in the not the Shield, Married with Children with Al Bundy. I got to do 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. So, you know, I did a lot of extra acting, a lot of background acting, then a lot of principal extra acting, where I'm not just a flash on the screen. I'm actually have a role in the picture, and no lines, but just major roles. But those things allowed me to connect with artists, musicians, and actors and producers, and that's what I was networking for. Wasn't even about the little roles that I had. It was about the networking of, well, who produces this? Who's an actor in this? Oh, you know. And when I got to doing LL Cool J's TV show and Fresh Prince's, now I'm dealing with, okay, who's an actor and who's a musician? So it's all starting to tie in. And, you know, that kept things kind of balanced on both ends. And I'm still involved in acting and TV and movies, and I'm still involved in music. So I just have a lot of different little projects going.
And it sounds like we're at the bottom of the hour, and it's about that to signal that we're going to be going to a station break. Is that right, Scotty?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We will be right back. This is Today's Entrepreneur. Thank you for tuning in.
You are tuned in to Today's Entrepreneur on Black Talk Radio Network. If you have a question or comment for our host, Andrea James, or her guest today, give us a call at 866-510-9025. That's 866-510-9025. Hit ** if you have a comment. I'll see you on the board and let Andrea know that you have a question for her or her guest. Thank you for tuning in today. As we go back to Andrea James, this is Today's Entrepreneur.
Okay, welcome back. This is your host, Andrea James, and you have tuned into Today's Entrepreneur, where I give a platform to entrepreneurs in all genres of being an entrepreneur, and for you to share your backstory with my listening audience. And today, what a backstory that we are hearing from the world-renowned percussionist Victor Orlando. Oh my gosh, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat just digging that from Dallas to LA. What has happened in his life up until this time. I want to say that one of the groups that you're touring with locally is a group that made hits back in, what, the 90s? Loose Ends. Is that right? You're touring with Loose Ends now?
Yeah, with Jane Eugene. Yeah, they're the group that had all of the hits, Hanging on a String and Slow Down and all that. We've done a lot of, we've done some local dates here in L.A., and we just actually got back off of a little small tour in Atlanta, Georgia. And it's amazing and fun to play, you know, music with, like I said, I thank God that he puts me in contact or in the presence to play with these artists that had these phenomenal hits out, and I get a chance to actually not only play the music but play with them. You know, besides Gap Band, Y'all Run People's Shaka, I guess Bobby Womack was one of my other favorite artists to play with, because I liked his music. I liked his voice, his vocals. But I did not know that man had written as many songs of different artists that he did until we did the TV show. We did Unsung. So I'm on Unsung with Bobby Womack. And just to listen back at his story of the different artists that he used to write for was just phenomenal. But I just thank God that I got the chance to play the music and then play with the person. The same as playing with Jane Eugene from Loose Ends, and to play with her music and anybody else that I've come up. And of course, another mutual friend of ours, I came up listening to Mandrill. Never had imagined or conceived I would be playing with Mandrill. And I'd be dang if I didn't get to play with Mandrill. And it was amazing.
Speaking of Mandrill, I want to say that I might have had a hand in getting you guys under the same roof. There is a show on Monday nights from, I think it's 8 to 9:30, called We Love Rare Grooves. And I believe I was able to have you and the world-renowned original, one of the original Mandrill members, Brother Rick Wilson, and you on We Love Rare Grooves Monday night, almost 2 years ago. And I was really stoked about doing that. And you both had events going on, and they got something coming up as well. And I learned about Ramp Mandrill when I was young. My brothers told me about Mandrill when we were teenagers. But just to know that these groups are still around, and that you have weaved in and out of the who's who of the music industry. And I want to say you have a special event that's coming up the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November the 25th. Please talk about that and share that with our listening audience, Mr. Victor Orlando.
Oh, no problem. Well, I don't sit around and wait on things if I can make them happen to a point. I don't do the egotistical put on airs and be all Hollywood. I'm just from Dallas, so it's hard for me to be something. You know, Hollywood has its own tag and air about it of how it does things, and, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, but it's not totally me. So I have to do things from down home way, is just have fun and make things happen and enjoy it. So I started years ago, you know, I didn't wait on anybody to do it, and I wasn't doing it for any pats on the back or any special reasons. I started giving my own self annual birthday parties and performing at them to basically give back to the people that have supported me throughout a year or so. And it just happened to be for my birthday. And so I've been doing these parties off and on for years. I would just find a venue, invite people, have them come down, and have a who's who list of celebrity entertainers of my friends come through and perform. And this, my birthday was November 9th, which was two Wednesdays ago. I turned 64, which means I've been in this earth for quite a while, and made up this party, and I didn't have anywhere to take it because the venues that I've been playing has all started shutting down. And so my very good dear friend, Miss Barbara Morrison, the blues singer, has this Performing Arts Center theater in Leimert Park. It's about a 100-seat theater, and she opened her arms and opened her doors to me and said, you know, do what you need to do. So I'm having my 64th birthday party, 64, and I want more birthday party.
I love it.
64, and I want more. I don't want to stop at 64. And it's Friday night, the day after Thanksgiving, so you can come and kind of shake some of that turkey down. And but we will be playing some good classic old school funk, Gap Band, Parliament, Ohio Players, Funkadelic, and then we'll be playing some classic Latin, some Santana, and some Cuban salsa. And then we'll have special guest artists coming up singing, and we'll have some celebrities, and we'll have it's a red carpet event. It's not a black tie, but just come looking nice, and I like to see everybody, get a picture with everybody, because for me, life is about memories, pictures, conversations, friendships. That's what keeps you going through the day. Money, and once you run out of money, you out. Once you got a friend, you got a friend. So I want to get as many friends, as many pictures, as many conversations, as many hugs as I can get while I'm vertical and enjoy it. So that's why I have these parties, just not to show off and not to show all my celebrity friends I got. It's to have fun and enjoy people, because that's all we have. And it's this Friday, the 25th, at 7 o'clock. 43.
Do you have an address, location? There you go.
Yeah. 4305 Degnan Boulevard, 43rd and Degnan in Leimert Park. It's right down the street from the big fountain at Crenshaw and Leimert. So it's in Leimert Park. It's Barbara Morrison's Performing Arts Theater. You can go find me at Victor Orlando on Facebook, and the flyer is there, and you can get the information there. You can go see my music on Victor Orlando's YouTube page, or you can go and see my promotional video. I have a promotional video that gets me work, where you can see exactly what we're doing and how we do it. And then if you want to book it, then it's there to book. That's at victororlando.com. So
and please repeat that address and the time, and if there is a cost for your wonderful event on Friday. Mind you, I went to one of Victor's birthday parties, I think shortly after I met you, 2 years ago in Beverly Hills, and it was off the chain. So if you think that was good, and he's bringing it closer to home in Leimert Park on Friday the 25th, and please give out the location and if there's a charge, and how people can just show up and be entertained like they've never been entertained before.
Okay, well, it's Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, 11:25, and it's at 7 p.m. is the red carpet, 8 o'clock is the comedian and the show starts, and it's at 4305 Degnan Boulevard in Leimert Park. Now, it's $10 RSVP, meaning if you go on my page and find the flyer, just go on my page on Facebook and say your name and how many people's in your party, you'll get the $10 RSVP price. It's $10 to get in. If you don't do that, it's $15 at the door. So if you want to save $5, you go on and find me on the page and just put your name and how many people, because I have people writing the names down. So when a person comes to the door, they say their name, and they get the $10 price. If they're not on the the RSVP list, then it's $15 at the door. And there will be a food truck there. I have a food vendor that's going to be there for food if people need to get something. and there's drinks on the inside that Barbara has, and there's a red carpet event to get pictures out front, and we'll have a great time Friday night. It's from 7 p.m. until 11. You can go. I will see each and every one of you there, but go to my pages. You can Google me also. That gives you a lot of information if you want to, you know, do backstories and follow up. Just Google Victor Orlando, and then you'll find everything that I'm doing. I don't know my Instagram, and I don't know my Twitter. That's getting really a lot. Brother here ain't got that much memory in his brain left, so I can only do one thing, that's Facebook. But I do have Twitter, and I do have Instagram, but just Google me, and you'll find all of that stuff.
Sounds like you may need a part-time internet person to help you with that. Let me just ask you, for anyone, no matter what age they are, if they're babies or they're mature people, what advice would you give them that they would possibly follow if they want to get into the music industry, or if they're already there and they want to go to the next level? What information would you share with them?
I would tell everybody, which is what I didn't know, so now that I know, I can tell some people, it's hard. It is hard. But if that's your calling, then it's not going to be hard, because you're not going to look at it as hard. If that's what you're supposed to be doing and you're good at it, just hang in there with it, because it'll turn around. But when I say it's hard, I'm saying it's ups and downs. It's so many ups and downs. Even the greats, even the A-list people, they've gone through their ups and downs. So it's just hang in there. I couldn't have imagined it was going to be like this when I left Dallas. As I always say, God threw the script of life in my lap with blank pages, and there was nothing on there for me to read. I was actually writing my script as I was doing it, so there was nothing on there for me to read to figure out, okay, this gig is going to fall through, and you're not going to have any money. I didn't know that. I didn't even see that on that page. Well, it's not on that page, but it happened. So everybody gets a script for this business, but unless somebody kind of gives you a preamble of what that book is going to be about, which is what I'm saying now. If I'm telling you, I got a 45-year script, and these are some of the things that's in mine, they're going to be in yours. I'm just letting you know, kind of watch out for them, because there's going to be some gigs that fall through the cracks. There's going to be some gigs that you finish, and the person is going to come up and go, oh, I didn't make enough money to give you anything tonight, and you took your last $2 to get gas to get there. That happened to me once. I went to a gig on air gas, just air that was in my gas tank. But when I got there, God said, look over at the machine. I looked over at an ATM machine sitting in the corner, and there was $20 sitting in the dadgum ATM machine. And all I could say was, thank you, God. You know I needed gas to get home, because this gig is not paying. So it's
wow.
Just, yeah, that's, you know, the other main thing is always keep God with you, because that's the only thing that's going to pull you through this entertainment business, or this business called entertainment. Because you cannot depend on...
Go ahead. You
cannot depend on people, because they will, through no fault of theirs, there's some that are, you know, like I said, good and bad of everybody, but through no fault of theirs, they will let you down. Oh, we didn't mean to, we thought we booked it, and we thought we got enough people in there, so we don't have any money to pay you. Well, they didn't wake up and say, you know what, I'm just going to have you come play and not pay you anything. Some people do that. 1 out of 10 really have that kind of mentality, that they'll get you to do something knowing they have no way of compensating you, but they'll do it anyhow for their own personal gain. Those people don't hang around long. But I'm just saying, if you got God with you, he'll let you go through it, let you see it, so that you can write those things on your book, so that next time somebody asks you, well, how did you make it, or what did you do, or what good or bad happened, you'll have some stuff to tell them because you've experienced it.
Experience it firsthand. What about the, I realize that there are so many schools nowadays that have cut out music. I remember when I was little, if you wanted to learn how to play an instrument, all you had to do is your parents probably had to sign you out for the instrument, and you could take that instrument home, brand new instrument or maybe slightly used, and practice on it and come back to class and show the teacher that you learned your lessons and that it was beneficial that they signed you out with the instrument. But nowadays, the music program is one of the programs that is no longer in existence. If it's not, it's very limited, which is unfortunate. What would you suggest those children and or adults do now if they don't have the equipment, but they still have that driving urge to learn an instrument and want to become a performer in the music industry?
Well, it gets political from that statement on, but from that statement back, yeah, when I grew up, that was the band in the school, and you learned how to play instrument. You have to, everybody that wants to play something has to have that want inside of them, and that's like a seed. And it's like, okay, it's not happening in the school. Mommy, I want to play drums. Okay, it's up to mommy to go to the store and get you a set of some sort of drums, and it's up to mommy to go and find you a teacher, because you cannot rely on it at that point for the schools to do it, because as I said, it gets political from that point on. Politically mean they're deciding, you know, and I'm not trying to get political, but they're deciding how to keep us in check and held back in any form they can. You know, they've only given us entertainment and sports to excel and one presidency, but anything else, you know, they're not pushing anything else for us to do, and now they're taking everything back. Once you take that music out of the school and take it out of a kid, you've kind of disheartened the kid. They don't have anything to look forward to. They don't have anything exciting to do. There's no exciting football games on Friday night for them to be in the marching band for, because you don't have any instruments to play anymore. So now they've taken that away. And when I say they, I mean the business, the establishment, the people who control the money and the say so of whether it's going to be in the system or not. And once they've done that,
once they've done that, one last statement, we have about a minute to go.
Yeah, but you know, once they've done that, they've taken all of that away, so we just have to pull up our bootstraps and get it done the best way we can, which is to go out and find people that will teach our kids how to do this stuff.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show this morning. I am just bowled over with from Dallas to Hollywood, the story that you told, and I'm sure you just touched the surface of the experiences that you have had over the last 45 years. We will see you Friday at the Barbara Morrison location in Leimert Park. Bring out $15. Put 10 in for the admission and maybe $5 in the contribution hat. I'm not really sure. But in closing, I want to say, Victor Orlando, I got your back, and you know that. And I am, again, very thankful. Wherever you perform, especially if it's local, I'm going to try you up in the place. And you're just a wonderful friend. You're a hard worker, and you never say no. You look back to learn from your experiences, and you're always pushing forward.
Well, thank you,
I'm very thankful. And I want to say in closing today that breaking the chains of poverty, creating bonds of prosperity, as well as staying in the black by any means necessary. And one of those ways to do that is to be an entrepreneur. And one last thing, please call or text the word today to 323-672-4949, and you will get on today's entrepreneur text message list. And I thank you again, Victor Orlando. I thank Scotty Reed for being a technical director today. And this is Andrea James, your host with today's entrepreneur. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victor.